Hello, this is Ilana Goldstein-Sachs of Web Yeshiva with this week's Tehillim podcast for Shabbat Parashat Vayera. Visit www.webyeshiva.org for more information on our fully interactive online yeshiva. For this week's Mizmor, I've chosen to do Mizmor Peitet. And the reason for this is that in this Mizmor, in addition to a few others, but this is the one I've chosen for this week, There's an allusion, even if it's just a midrashic allusion, to Avraham Avinu. And what interests me is to take a glance at Mizmor Peitet and to try to understand what the connection is between Avraham and what is being said there. Meaning, why did the Baalei HaMidrash see fit to connect Avraham Avinu to what is going on in the Mizmor? Now, to be honest, Mizmor Peitet is a rather long Mizmor. We are not going to be able to do a thorough study of the entire Mizmor, but what I would like to do is, first of all, just to give you an overview, very briefly, of what is in the Mizmor, and then go to the topic that I mentioned already, right? To see what is this connection to Avraham Avinu, which of course is related to this week's parasha. What is the connection to Avraham Avinu that the Baalei Midrash saw here? The Mizmor begins, Maskil le'etan ha'ezrachi, right? So this Mizmor is attributed to an individual named Etan ha'ezrachi, right? And there's discussion among the Mefarshim as to who exactly Etan ha'ezrachi was, right? One opinion is that this is an individual who was mentioned in Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Perek Vav, right? One of the Mishorarim of Shevet Levi. Right? And there are different ideas thrown about in the Mefarshim. The one that I would like to address, right, is one which is found in the Midrash, which Dafka isn't the Pshat. I don't think anybody thinks this is the actual author of this Mizmor, but that it's Avraham Avinu. The Itana Ezrachi is Avraham Avinu, or perhaps there are some who do believe that this was actually Avraham Avinu, who is being referred to here. But to me, it seems that this is more the Midrash's way of saying, right, and this is a very Midrashic thing to do, a way of saying there is something about this Mizmor that is mat'in, that is appropriate for Avraham Avinu, and this is our way of telling you, try to figure that out, right? So what is it about the following Mizmor that is somehow connected to Avraham Avinu? The Mizmor then goes on to talk not about Avraham Avinu or anything to do with the Avot Bichlal, but rather about Beit David. Right, the Mishorer opens up and says, Chaste Hashem le'olam ashira, I will sing of the chasadim, of the kindnesses of Hashem forever. L'dor v'dor odia emunatcha b'fi. Right? From generation to generation, I will tell of emunatcha, right? Emunatcha from the word emuna, which is related to the word emet, your steadfastness, right? That you hold true. Again, referring to Hashem. Ki amarti olam chesed yibane, shamayim tachin emunatcha vahem. There are different ways of understanding what exactly this pasuk means. One possibility, ki amarti olam chesed Ibane, that the world is created through chesed, right? Or olam, really, le'olam, chesed yibane, right? Chesed will le'olam, the chesed of Hashem will exist, right? Forever, Hashem's chesed will exist, will continue. Shamayim tachin emunatcha bahem, right? And your emunot, again, your steadfastness also will be like the shamayim, right? Everlasting, right? Or to go back to the parallel to the other interpretation that I gave to the first half of the pasuk, that the shamayim will be established upon your steadfastness, right? But generally what is being described here is that Hashem's interaction with the world, or the basis of the world even, is the chesed and the emunah of Hashem, right? Chesed, again, being his kindnesses, and emunah being his steadfastness. At first, as I mentioned already, these qualities are applied dafka to Hashem's connection to the world in general. Then later on in the Mizmor, the Mishorer talks about these same qualities of chesed and emunah, or chesed and emet, as it's later described, in terms of Hashem's relationship dafka to Beit David. This idea, right, of the chesed and emunah of Hashem in relationship to Beit David, meaning specifically that Hashem, through his chesed and his emunah, will continue Beit David forever, right? That the monarchy of David, the dynasty of David will continue forever. But this idea already starts towards the beginning of the Mizmor in Pasuk Dalet. It picks up later on even more around Pasuk Kaf, where Hashem continues to explain how he will always be with Beit David, right? That the throne of David, that the Malchut of David, the Brit that Hashem has with David and his descendants will be forever. And then, in Pasuk Lamed Aleph, it's taken a step further. Im yazvu vanav torati, uvemishpatai lo yelechun. But even if the descendants of David do not follow my Torah and do not follow my laws, im yichukotai yichalelu umitzvotai lo yishmaru. Right? Even if all of these things happen and Beit David does not follow in the path they are meant to follow, Pasuk Lamed Aleph, sorry, Lamed Dalet, v'chasti lo afir me'imo ve'lo asheker be'emunati, ve'lo achalel b'riti u'motzas sifatai lo ashaneh. Right? Here the Mishorer is quoting Hashem's promise to David, right? And this, you can see this in the book of Shmuel, where this promise is through Natan HaNavi is told to David HaMelech, right? That always the Malchut of David will continue, right? And this is echoed also at the end of, or at a very low point in Malchut David, right? After the days of Shlomo HaMelech, when the kingdom is split to Malchut Yehuda and Malchut Yisrael. Right, and you have Achiah Hashiloni, the Navi, who comes to tell Yeravam that he's going to take over 10 of the tribes of Israel, and he's going to be king over them. Right, but the Navi says, right, in the name of Hashem, that there will still remain a Malchut David, for the sake of David, right, because that promise had been made to David that his kisei will go on forever. And then in the last section, right, the Mishorer then turns to Hashem and says, and if this is so, right, if through your chesed and your emunah you promised this to David HaMelech, right, then why did you stop? Right? Why has this not continued? Right? Basically, you, Hashem, have not kept what you promised, right? Culminating in Pasuk Nun, Ayei chasadecha harishonim Adonai, nishbata leDavid beemunatecha. Right? Where is your chesed? Where is your emunah? Right? That which you promised to David, where is it now? Right? You haven't kept your side of the deal. There are many interesting aspects that one could pick up on in this mizmor. And again, it's a very long mizmor that I just read selected psukim from. For example, it'd be interesting to compare the psukim in the Mizmor to what is said in the book of Shmuel, right? To see what Hashem actually promised and how that is echoed here. What I'd like to pick up on, however, is a different issue, and that is the issue of the chesed and the emunah, or the chesed and the emet. Two other words that get thrown around which aren't in the psukim, which I happen to have quoted. There's also tzedek and mishpat, right? That Hashem is the God of tzedek. And the God of Mishpat, the God who does justice and righteousness, and that is not what is happening now. The Mishorer says, right? That is what was promised, and Hashem has not stopped, right? And at the very end, the Mishorer turns to Hashem and says, "Why have you forgotten Avadecha?" Just to read you one pasuk. Which also includes the idea of tzedek and mishpat, right? In pasuk tetvav, tzedek u'mishpat mechon kisecha, right? The the basis, that which establishes your kise, your throne, is tzedek and mishpat. Chesed ve'emet yikadmu p'fanecha. Right? They are that, chesed and emet are your servants, so to speak. Right? Chesed and emet are that which stands before you, Hashem. Ashrei ha'am yode'ei teru'ah, Hashem ba'or panecha yehalechu. Right? We know this from what the psukim that we read before Tkiyat Shofar and Rosh Hashanah. B'shimcha yigivun kol hayom u'betzitkatcha yarumu. Right? Again, at the end of Pasuk Yudayim, which I just read, through your tzedek, they will be lifted up, right? So we see here, either the world at large or Am Yisrael benefiting from the fact that Hashem and Hashem's malchut is based upon tzedek and mishpat, chesed and emet. Now, what I'd like to do is to take a look at these terms, specifically the chesed and emunah being essentially the same as emet, but also a little bit the mishpat and the tzedek, to try to understand what exactly the Mishorer is saying here, right? What did Hashem promise, and what was or was not being kept at different points, and to try to get an understanding of what it is all about. Now, truth is, right, that these terms, while they're often lumped together, tzedek, mishpat, chesed, ve'emet, emunah, they are all attributes of good things. They all have a sense of doing the right thing, but they're not exactly the same. But what's more fascinating than their differences is the fact that, indeed, despite the fact that they're different, there's often, in some cases, a little bit of a blurring between them. And it's that blurred space that fascinates me the most. Tzedek, for example, is a word that means, we generally translate it as righteousness, right? Righteousness, doing that which is correct, doing that which is just. Mishpat, right, also means justice, mean doing the correct thing, the objectively correct thing to do. Chesed, on the other hand, right, chesed is also a good thing, but while tzedek means righteousness and justness, chesed has a slightly different meaning, which means goodness, right, the good thing to do. Or another way that it is used sometimes is kindness, right, a kind thing to do. Now, that is the initial meaning of the word. Of course, it also often takes on the meaning of mercy, right? Chesed, of doing the merciful thing, right? But that's kind of like an aside meaning to its essential meaning, which is goodness. Now, while mercy and tzedek, right, mercy and righteousness, doing that which is just and doing that which is merciful are not always the same thing, right? Sometimes dafka, the thing which is merciful is not the objectively just thing to do. Doing the thing that is good and doing the thing that is righteous, right? That already is a little bit more difficult to distinguish. So while these things are distinct, sometimes they could be a little bit confusing, and we can even sometimes see this in the way that the words are used, right? Tzedakah, right, charity, which comes from the word tzedek, although the origin of the word, of course, is justice, right? Why do we give tzedakah? Because it is the just thing to do. We're talking about social justice. You give tzedakah to a person because they're a human being, right? Not because you're being kind to them. You're doing it because they, as human beings, deserve to have what they need. And yet, sometimes when the word is used, perhaps in colloquial usage, perhaps in incorrect colloquial usage, but it takes that jump over to that which is merciful. Whereas chesed, right, which has that tinge of mercifulness in its initial meaning, well, not in its initial meaning, but in its one of its original meanings, even though the original term is goodness, right, can sometimes also be used in a sense of more somebody who's just simply good, right? A chassid isn't necessarily somebody who is merciful, although certainly it could be that as well. It simply means a person who is good, right? A person who does the good thing to do, right? And again, there are clear distinctions, but sometimes they can be blurred. The last two terms, right, emet and emunah, which essentially come from the same shoresh, right, mean truth, right? We know the word truth, emet, that's a use that we word we use often, but truth in the sense of emunah, right? Again, the words are related, of steadfastness, right? The thing which holds true, holds fast, right? The thing which is unchanging, right? And all of these things are attributes of Hashem as described in this mizmor. Now, what also adds to the confusion of understanding these terms is that these different terms, and unfortunately, in the context of this podcast, we don't really have time to go into it in depth. But again, sometimes I like to give a little homework on the side. Take out your concordancia, take out your dictionaries. You see your CDs, whatever it is that people use these days. These words are often used in parallel to each other in biblical Hebrew, right? Chesed and Emet are sometimes together, and Tzedek and Mishpat are sometimes together. But then sometimes you have other ones crossing together and being parallel to each other. And then each time you look at a pasuk, when you have two words being parallel to each other in a poem, are they meant to be seen as meaning the same thing essentially, or are they dafka meant to be seen as meaning opposite meaning or slightly different layers of meaning? In other words, so each case has to be understood separately, but again, the nuances have to be clarified. And I'll leave you to open up your books over Shabbat to see how the words are used in different cases. Now, what is interesting is to apply this to what is being said in our mizmor. Essentially, what is happening is that the Mishorer says that Hashem had promised to David to continue his malchut forever, and this was based on chesed and emunah, and that is what the Mishorer is asking that Hashem continue. The question is chesed and emunah essentially the same thing in this case, or are they two different things that are being thrown around here? The Malbim, for example, sees them distinctly, and he gives a very interesting interpretation. He says, "Yesh hevdel ben chesed uven emuna. Ha-chesed hu ma she'yaseh minidvat lev, mibli haftacha kodemet, o ba'avur davar shekibel ba'avuro." Right? Chesed is something which you do out of the kindness of your heart, basically. You do it because you want to, because it's a nice thing to do, but out of absolutely no requirement. No, there's no reason that you have to do it. Nobody did a favor for you that you're repaying, right? There's no promise that you made in the past. That is what chesed is, according to the Malbim. And that's a fairly understood in explanation of what chesed is. V'ha'emunah o emet, huma ma yaseh al yedei chiyuv. Im shehivtiach la'atzoto, o shehitchayev la'asot ba'avur hagmur v'chadomeh. Right? Emunah or emet, on the other hand, the Malbim clarifies, is that which you do because you are required to, because you have an obligation to do it. Right? It's the same kind thing, but you're doing it because out of obligation, either because somebody did something for you and you have to help them in return, or simply because you promised that you would do it. Right? If I give somebody tzedakah, that's a chesed. If I promise that I'm going to give the tzedakah, and then I give it, that is emunah, right? Because I promised it, and therefore it is no longer from. I'm no longer doing it out of chesed. I'm now doing it out of obligation because I had promised to do it. So, what the Malbim essentially says is that perhaps initially, what Hashem, the kindness that Hashem did for Beit David was chesed, but there was an aspect of emunah, right? This was this promise that was made to Beit David, and so that even if Beit David, after David's time would sin and they would no longer follow the path of Hashem, Hashem is still obligated to keep his promise, right? And his promise to do the chesed, his promise to continue Beit David forever. So what happens with Hashem's promise is very interesting, right? Something which becomes that was initially purely a chesed. Right, if Hashem would continue Beit David despite their doings, the chataim that they did, right? That chesed suddenly becomes obligatory. Right? It suddenly becomes the just thing to do. Right? Suddenly, tzedek and mishpat requires Hashem to keep David's house going, even though they were now chotim, they were now sinners. Right? So it's a very interesting understanding of what chesed is, what emet is, and what mishpat is, and what tzedek is. Right? Where you're obligated to do it, even though ordinarily that would not be the just thing to do, because Hashem promised it is the just thing to do, right? You have to do it because that's what you promised to do, and you have to do what you promised to do, right? So again, you could see the shifting of what emet is, right? Emet would have Beit David cease to exist, right? Chesed would allow it to continue, but now because Hashem promised this chesed, right? Now chesed, now the now the emet and the tzedek and the mishpat are on their side, right? So it's a very interesting shift of how these term how the terminology is used. But of course, we've saw that shifting before, right? You could think of other examples where pure objective truth would require you to act a certain way in a certain situation, but chesed would inform you what to do otherwise. So the question is emet, is truth, is justice, right, is righteousness that which is always objectively correct, objectively true, or do the circumstances sometimes mitigate what we understand as just, what we understand as correct, as truth, right? And that's a little bit of what is being played with. What is also interesting, right, and this goes back to what I talked about at the beginning of the shiur, of the podcast, is that Eitan HaEzrachi, right, the mishorer of this mizmor, according to pasuk Aleph, in the Midrash, they say that he is Avraham Avinu, right? An entire podcast, an entire year-long class might be dedicated to understanding the character of Avraham Avinu and understanding the etymology of the words Eitan Ezrachi and how perhaps they're connected. But simply the comment from Chazal that this person was Avraham Avinu requires us to try to understand why that is. Why is the content of this mizmor appropriate for Avraham Avinu to utter? One possibility, this is an idea that I saw mentioned in the Daat Mikra commentary, says that this idea of chesed to Beit David, right, and the continuity, the promise of continuity of Beit David, no matter what, is very parallel to that which we see in the case of Abraham. Right? Abraham is also concerned with his continuity, also concerned that his what he has started will continue forever, right? And there are mentions of that promise which Hashem has made to Abraham, throughout the story of Abraham and beyond, right? Also later on, when Abraham is referred to in later books in the Tanakh, right? This idea of the continuity of the descendants of Abraham, is present. And we don't have time in the context of this podcast to look at the different sources, but there are many midrashim that connect these two things. Some, for example, show the parallel between the bracha Magen Avraham, right, which is in Shmona Asrei, to the bracha of Magen David, which Magen David, which we say after the Haftarah. Both of these deal with the promises that came to those who came before, Zchut Avot, promises to David, and the continuity, right, show certain parallels between them. But if you look at Midrashim themselves, you have very often David wondering why is it that Hashem says that he will protect Avraham? What about protecting him? And Hashem explains the differences, and then David prays that he too will be protected, right? Playing off the words of Magen Avraham, Magen David. In a different case, other parallels are brought between Abraham and David in terms of Hashem promising that he will protect first one and then the other, and then will continue, right? And this is an idea that is present in many midrashim. So it could be that the midrash suggests that ezrachi, etan, perhaps being another term for steadfastness, strength, right? That the reason why the Midrash says that is part of that pool of Midrashim which see these connections between Abraham and David, and therefore see Abraham as being the appropriate Mishorer for this Mizmor. Of course, one could question, but David himself would also be inappropriate, since we know that many Mizmorei Tehillim are written by David himself. So why Abraham and not David? It seems to me that another answer to the question of why Eitan Ezrachi is Dafka Abraham Avinu comes from who Abraham Avinu is, right? Which I think is probably obvious to many of you, and it probably crossed your mind on your own. Abraham Avinu is, of course, himself the famous doer of Chesed, the one who throughout the stories about him, be it the story of the Shlosha Malachim who come to his tent, to whom he relates with act of chesed after act of chesed, because of which many Mefarshim point out perhaps that is b'zchut that, in the merit of that he is then granted, he's then told that he's going to have a son finally. Or what we see later on in the parasha about his willingness to fight for Sdom, right? Even the city of Sdom, Abraham is willing to do that extra bit and to try to protect them, right? Abraham is the Baal Chesed par excellence. Now, what is fascinating in terms of what we saw in our Mizmor is that even with Abraham, in all of these stories, certainly in the story of Sdom, there's again this blurring between Mishpat and Tzedek and Emet and Chesed. First of all, I think it's important to point out that nowhere in the stories of Abraham is the word chesed used, right? If, again, you do a quick check in your Concordancia or on your CD-ROM, and you'll see that chesed is sometimes used in terms of what Hashem does for Abraham, but not in terms of what Abraham himself does, right? An interesting topic for a different class, perhaps. What you do see with Abraham is constant use of the words tzedek and mishpat, right? When right before the destruction of Sdom, right, Hashem says, right, that he knows about Abraham, right? He has to tell Abraham what's going on with Sdom, that they're about to be destroyed, because he knows about Abraham. Ki yedaativ et asher yitzaveh banav right? He knows that Abraham is the person who's going to carry on and teach his children about Stakao Mishpat. He's the Stakao Mishpat man. He can count on Abraham for these things. And then, of course, when he's arguing with Hashem regarding Sdom, right? His argument isn't do it because it's the kind thing to do. Rather, he says the famous statement, "Hashofet kol ha'aretz lo yaseh mishpat." It's the just thing to do. Right now, it's interesting, particularly because of Abraham being famous for chesed, not right. Of course, in the story of Sdom, you also have the shifting of what is chesed and what is mishpat and tzedek. Right, Abraham's argument there is that he can't destroy the city if there are any tzaddikim. Right, because how can you kill the tzaddikim together with the rishaim? Right, so of course that is tzaddik, that is mishpat, that is saving the life of someone who doesn't deserve to die. But there is also the element there is the element of chesed of, well, let's save even the ones who don't really deserve to be saved, because there are other people whose merit they should be saved. The bad people will say, be saved bishut the good people, right? Which is not all that different from saying, save Beit David because there was a good guy way back when, or continue Am Yisrael forever bishut Abraham Avinu, right? These things are not so terribly different. This theme, of course, also goes back to Eitana Ezrachi, right? Because the whole source for Eitan, which Chazal quote, right, the proof text that they bring to show that Eitana Ezrachi is Avraham Avinu, is the pasuk from Yeshayahu, where where the Navi says, Miheir mimizrach tzedek yikra'eu leragolo, right? Talking about someone who was roused up from the east, who you know, basically had tzedek, did tzedek wherever he went, right? Now the pasuk doesn't mention Avraham by name or explicitly, but many mivarshim, not all, but many mivarshim, including many midrashim, say that this is talking about Avraham Avinu, right? And this is the proof text, right? Miheir mimizrach, right? They connect mizrach to etan ha'ezrachi, right? And say that this is Avraham Avinu. And of course, obviously, the doer of tzedek, right, is Avraham Avinu as well. Now, again, it's interesting that the pasuk that they are using here is the pasuk that's talking about tzedek, right, a person who does a lot of tzedek. In a mizmor, we're connecting it to a mizmor where you're talking mostly about chesed, but also about tzedek, right? So again, we see, you know, the shifting, the somewhat blurring of the of these different terms, in terms of what the Mishorer is asking Hashem to do, right? So the Midrash, right, seeing what the Mizmor is saying, right, says this is exactly Avraham Avinu, right? That the Mishorer is saying something which Avraham Avinu would have said himself, right? The continuity, right, of Am Yisrael, the continuity of the world, the continuity of Malchut David, is something which is based on a chesed, right? But it's a chesed that becomes a tzedek. It's a chesed that becomes the thing, which, the good thing to do, the right thing to do, the positive thing to do, right? And so it's interesting to see how the Midrash really picked up on this theme about in the Mizmor, and sees how closely connects to what we've seen elsewhere with Avraham Avinu. Wishing everybody a Shabbat Shalom.